Spirit, destroying the enemy, be courageous, protect the truth, and have loyalty. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2 if we can. And did I say 1 Timothy? I did. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy is what I meant. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. Let's stand if we can. Of course, we're talking about soldiers, so we'll stand at attention. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 1. We'll go through verse number 4. And then we'll ask the Lord's blessing and we'll jump right in. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. It says, "There, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a," what can we say in the next two words? "Good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse number 4. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're thankful that we can look at your word. We're thankful for this illustration, Father, of being a good soldier. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a better insight, a better understanding on what that means. And Father, help us to be good soldiers for you, Lord, because of what we hear here this evening. Lord, give us strength, give us help, give us encouragement, give us whatever we need here tonight. And Lord, but more than anything, I pray that you'd help us to apply your word tonight and help us to leave this place better soldiers for you because of what we hear. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to look at four simple ideas about being a soldier from these four verses while Andrew is being really comfortable over there, okay? Number one, we're going to look at being strong. Look at verse number one if we can. Okay, when I stop, you read the next two words. Verse number one, "Thou therefore, my son," what's the next two words? "Be strong." Good. "In the grace that's in Christ Jesus." And of course, here we have Andrew. And let me just give you a little bit of example for Roman strength, what they had to do. Andrew, are you comfortable over here?
Very not
comfortable. Oh, you forgot your shield, buddy. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh, and your spear too. You forgot your spear. Okay. Good. Are you more comfortable now? Isn't this better? Yeah? You're really comfortable, aren't you? We didn't go through the belt on that. That's why that's going all over the place. Yeah, you comfortable? Yeah. It's got some weight to it, doesn't it? It's got some weight to it. Now, Roman soldiers, they had to do something. They had to be able and willing to be strong. Now, Roman soldiers, they would have all this. In real Roman armor, it would be about 60 pounds. That's not actually nearly what they would actually carry, Andrew. So isn't that encouraging? Yeah. So they would wear about 60 pounds of armor when you had everything combined. I don't have a male shirt. He would have to wear that and everything else. On top of that, Roman strength, they would have to, as they're training, okay, to even get into the army, they had to be able to hike over 20 miles in full armor within 5 hours. Okay? So if you take that, 5 hours, 20 miles, around 65 pounds of armor, but that's not it. I have in my backpack here a bunch of weights because they weren't just required to carry this. You see, this is great for armor for a little bit, right? But what's the problem here? Is he going to survive for very long with only this, yes or no? What does he need?
Water,
food, resources, a gun. Maybe not that one. But he needs some of this. So they were required. I have a backpack here. This backpack doesn't quite have what they would have to carry. They would have to carry 45 pounds. This has about 31 pounds, okay? So Andrew, just to make it really comfortable for you, buddy, this is why I didn't tell him he was doing this today because I figured he wouldn't show up. How you feeling there, bud? You ready? You ready to hike 20 miles? Do you want to? Here. Do we want proof that this is actually heavy? It's heavy, okay? Here, does someone want to verify that this is heavy? Who wants to verify? Joshua, come on up. Joshua's my verifier. Go ahead, try and lift it, buddy. Yeah, it's heavy. Okay, it's heavy. Good. The point of it, okay, when Paul says here to Timothy, be strong, again, in the context of a soldier. He's talking about this kind of idea. You see, there takes a degree of strength, not just to be a Roman soldier, but to be a soldier for the Lord. Okay, add on to that, all weapon training with the Romans would be double the weight of the normal weapon. If I can, I'm going to take your sword out because it's falling all over the place anyways. Now, this sword isn't super heavy. Here, Stephen, you want to hold it? Sword's not super heavy, but it's got a little bit of girth, right? It's not super sharp. Don't stab your wife on it. Okay, good. So it's not super sharp, but it's got a little bit of weight. If you can imagine, though, swinging this and trying to fight with it all day long with it double the weight, that would be difficult. The Roman spear, the pilum, would be double the weight on it as well. And they would do all of this so that they would be stronger than the other team. It reminds me a little bit of when I used to play soccer in high school. We didn't have super athletic people. We weren't super talented in that way. But my coach said, you can always outwork the other team, even if you can't out-talent the other team. And that was really the Roman mindset, if you will. You know, we're going to be better equipped. We're going to be better trained. We're going to be able to go longer. And by that, we'll be able to win. And that was really the mindset. So when we look at the Bible here in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 1, when the Bible says to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, that's kind of the idea. He's saying, hey, be strong, be willing to go through the trials because you're a soldier. Let's consider, if we can, a Christian's strength. Now, notice what it is. Look at verse number 1. Our strength is not found in ourselves, right? It's not found in our talents or our abilities or any of that stuff. What's our strength found in? Verse number 1. What does it say with me? What is it? It's a grace that's in Christ Jesus, right? You see it there, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. What's grace? Grace is a gift, something that's given that's not deserved, something that's not earned. He's saying, don't just be strong in yourself. Remember, Timothy was a young pastor. He's saying, don't just be strong in yourself. Don't just be strong in your talents or your skills or your abilities. Timothy struggled a lot with that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, he was a man that seemed to struggle with fear. Look back at chapter 1, verse 7. But God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. He's saying, hey, don't focus on yourself, Timothy. Focus on the grace that you get through Christ. Can I say, folks, our strength is not found in ourselves. If it weren't for God, we wouldn't even exist. You all with me here? Right? I think sometimes we can focus on our own talents or our own abilities or what we can do. No, no, no. That's not where your strength is found. Your strength is found in the Lord. He's the one that provided it for you. He's the one that gave you the grace to do it. He's the one that does it. So trust and be strong in that grace. Rely on it. Trust in it. Depend in it. And grow in your grace that the Lord's given you. Does that make sense? Grow to where you understand what God's given you. Number one, be strong. Number two, our second illustration here. Look at verse number 2 if we can. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, what's the next two words? Commit thou to faithful men, which shall be able to teach others also. What you say, preacher, what on earth does this have to do with the past, with a soldier? What does that mean? Number two, you need to be training. Be training. Romans, not only were they stronger than other people, but they trained more than most ancients. You see, back in ancient times, especially in the early Roman Empire days, they didn't really have standing armies. Okay? Most nations that the Romans went up against, they would have kind of what we would call militias. Okay? They would have an army when they needed one, but then everyone would just go home. The Romans were different, though. They decided specifically that we're going to have an army and we're going to have it all the time. And we're going to be training those people all the time. If you got into the army, you had to be in the army a minimum of 20 years unless you got seriously injured. Okay? This was a serious thing that they were very serious about. Roman training, if I can, a few things. First off, the reason why you train. They did something very interesting. The name we get decimation from was actually a Roman term. Okay, here's what it meant. If a group They would have a centurion, which would be 80 plus 20 servants that would help take care of them. So 100 people. If that group was not measuring up, they weren't fighting well, maybe they weren't doing great, or something like that, here's what the Romans would do. They would decimate that group, which would mean this. They would divide that group randomly into 10 parts. Okay? You'd have 80 soldiers, so let's just say 8 people in each one. So they divide that into 8 people in each one. Then they would draw straws, or draw lots, basically cast dice, and they would decide, and one group would be chosen, and that group would be killed, beaten to death by the other 9. Now, let me make sense here. Let's say, let's get a couple people up here. Bubba, come on up. Joshua, come on up. Jenna, come on up. Okay? We'll get you 3. Come on up. Okay? Now, let's say that Bubba here is just a slacker. Okay? Is that fair? Yeah, pretty much. Okay, good. Okay, let's say Bubba is just a slacker, and let's say these two are trying to carry the weight, but Bubba is just, he's messing up, he's not practicing, he's not training, he's not doing a good job, right? Let's say the general comes along to this group, and they say, hey, you know, you guys in that last, you guys in that last battle, you guys just didn't work hard enough, you were just lousy, okay? So we're going to practice decimatio, which means we're going to pick each one of you, and then one of you will die, okay, and you guys get to kill the other person. Now, let's say that Joshua is the one that gets picked to be decimated, to be killed. What would Joshua's thought be? Run? Yeah, you don't run. You're not going to get away. Joshua's thought would be like, what in the world? Wouldn't that be your thought? It's not my fault. I've been trying hard. It's his fault. You all with me here? Am I making sense? Yes? Whose fault was it? It's Bubba's fault. Sorry, bud. It's your fault. Why am I the one that's getting killed as he's getting stoned to death? Why am I the one that's getting killed? That's not fair. You know what that would teach? Why would they do that? Why would they kill 1/10 of a whole group? You know why? Because they wanted to make sure that everyone was looking out for the other one. Am I making sense? There was never, in the Roman army, never the idea that one person can slack off. That one person can not be effective. That one person can not be doing what needed to be done. Because I guarantee you, everyone else in that centurion was making sure that that person was active about his training, about learning, because they didn't want to get killed. You with me here? So what would they do? Instead of letting Bubba slack off, they say, Bubba, you are going to train. And if you don't train, we're going to make you train. So they would go and they practice and they start fighting. The people that perhaps had been in that legion for a little bit longer, they said, hey, here's what you need to do. Here's how the formations need to work. Here's how everything is. Why? Because my success is dependent on your success. Think about that from a Christian perspective. Listen, folks. We need each other. You know why? Because our church will only ever be as good as its weakest member. You all with me here? You know what we do a lot of times as a church? I've been in church for pretty much all my life. You know what we do a lot of times as a church? We focus on ourselves. Now, I don't mean that in a selfish way. Sometimes that might even be a good thing. We go and we try and be as active as we can, and we try and serve as best we can, we try and help as best we can, but we're focused on ourselves, and we see someone else that's struggling or not doing what they need to, or maybe they're not in church, or maybe they're not being successful, and we're not really focused on them because I'm focused on myself. I've said it so many times before. We're not gladiators, we're soldiers. We're not the only one fighting in the arena. No, we're fighting arm in arm, side by side. We're working together. Am I making sense? So the Romans, they would train, but they wouldn't just train themselves. As a matter of fact, that's not what verse 2 is talking about, is it? No. The things you've heard among many witnesses, what do? You commit to faithful men that can teach others, that can teach others, that can teach others, that can teach others. Am I making sense here? The training isn't necessarily just focused on your own training. It's focused on training each other so that you can each be better at what you're called to do. Am I making sense? That's what a church is supposed to be. A church is not supposed to be you coming and saying, wow, preacher's really good, or wow, preacher's really bad. Maybe that too. Okay? And that's not what a church is supposed to be. A church is supposed to be every one of us going and saying, hey, how can I help you? Hey, how can we grow? How can we learn a bit more about the Lord? How can we do this? Hey, I noticed you've been struggling with this. Hey, how can I help? That's what we're supposed to be. Am I making sense here? Number one, the reason for training. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. Number two, the method of training. There is something called the armatura. Okay? Armature was weapons training. As I said earlier, they would have double weight weapons. They would be wooden. They would be double the weight of your normal sword or spear, whichever one you were using. And you would train. You'd train constantly. You'd train in full armor. And you would, any time you had free time, you were expected to train. There was not a time off for a Roman soldier because you were constantly training. Meaning, if you just got over your 20-mile hike, remember, 20 miles, that was the expectation, right? While carrying 45 pounds, okay? Then you get done, you're worn out, and guess what you do? You grab your sword and you start training. Because training never stopped. Can I say it this way? Our growth and our spiritual life should never stop. If you have not been called on to heaven, you still have growing to do. You with me? Every one of us, we are not. Are you as perfect as Jesus is? Yes or no? Anybody? Nobody in here? Then what does that mean? That means we should still be training. We should still be serving. We should still be growing. Why? Because so long as you're a soldier, you can learn more. Let's look at what the Bible talks about here. Christian training, three simple ideas. Number one, we should listen. Verse number two, it starts off with the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses. You see, there are some people that witnessed it, saw it, but what? They didn't listen. Would you not agree? Yes? The things you heard of me among many witnesses. Well, why is he not saying it to all the witnesses? Because some of the people weren't paying attention. Right? Yes? Some people witnessed and saw what Paul was saying, but they weren't paying attention and they didn't learn like Timothy did. So he's saying, Timothy, you need to listen to what you've heard. Then number two, you need to share it. The things which you've heard among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men. So you need to find someone that you can help them grow. Train somebody. That's the idea. You don't have to train everybody. Nobody can train everybody. I can't train everybody. But you need to find somebody that you can train to be better. Does that make sense? Every one of us should find somebody that we can make better in this church. That's the reality. We're all at different levels. Yes, some of you have been saved longer than I have. Some of you have been saved a lot longer than I have. Okay? The reality is it doesn't matter. You need to find somebody that you can make better in their service for God and commit what you know to them. That's what he's saying. The things you've heard, commit to faithful witnesses. And then number three, you're equipping them so that they can do the same to someone else. So that they can teach others also. I've talked about before the math of winning the world. And if you look at Matthew 28 and some of the ideas there, I considered just the math. If you went and you saw like 300 people saved every single day, well, by the end of the year, that'd be great. You see 300 people saved. 300 times 365. That's wonderful. That's what? 90,000? Something like that? It would take more than your entire lifetime. If you saw 300 people saved every single day, it would take more than your entire lifetime to even make a dent in the United States. You would barely keep up with population growth. But if you, every year you train just two people and equip them to train two more people, you know how many years it would take? See the entire world population saved? If you equipped, it would take, I believe it was 12 years. 12 years. Entire world population, about 7 billion people. 12 years. If you decided, I'm going to train two people this next year, you start off, just one person. You say, I'm going to train two people to be a Christian and to see two more people saved and discipled. And you equip them to do the same, 12 years, the entire world population will be saved. You see the difference? It's not a matter of you being super evangelist. It's a matter of you making a difference in someone's life. Number one, be strong. Number two, be training. You feeling okay over there, Andrew? Yeah, feeling your back. Okay, I better hurry. Number three, be enduring. Look at verse number three if you can. Verse number three, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. Of course, a Roman endurance, they had physical endurance like we've already talked about, which Andrew doesn't have, but that's fine.
I'm just picking on you, but I don't have it.
You don't have it, bro. You don't have it. And then beyond that, they had exhaustion endurance. Back in Roman times, there are multiple reports of them going hiking 20 miles. They had to be able to, within 2 days, build an entire fort. So can you imagine, if you will, you go and you hike 20 miles into enemy territory, you get there, within 2 days, you had to have a full Roman fort, complete with a moat around it, complete with logs, all those different things. You had to, your group, your legion, had to have that done in 2 days. There are whole places where literally within just a few short days they built it. If you've ever heard of Masada, I encourage you to look that up sometime. They built an entire earthen ramp all the way up a mountain to take over an enemy fortress. They did that in, what, a month, I believe? They literally tore down mountains, took it bucket by bucket, and built a ramp all the way up to the top of a mountain all by itself. Check it out. It's interesting. The reality is there was an endurance that was expected. Look at verse number 3 again. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What's the hardness that we're supposed to endure? Well, there's lots of hardnesses in our life, aren't there? Yeah? Life is tough sometimes, yes? Okay? And we're supposed to, as Christians, we're supposed to endure that hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't give up when things get tough. No, God, Jesus promised things would get tough, right? Jesus promised things would be tough. So in our Christian life, our Christian endurance, we should endure the difficulties of life. We should endure the difficulties of our identity. Of course, Paul is writing to Timothy, as I mentioned on Sunday morning. He's writing to Timothy in jail. He's awaiting death. And he's telling Timothy, he's telling him, hey, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what that meant to Timothy? That meant you may well die like I am about to. That's what that meant to Timothy. Am I making sense? In our world, we can't even comprehend that, can we? We can't. If we tell somebody about Jesus and they say, I don't want that, we like act like we've been persecuted. We just got stoned, right? Yes? We go up, we knock on a door, and we say, hey, we'd like to invite you to church. Well, first off, most of us Christians have never done that. That's neither here nor there. We go up to someone, we knock on the door, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. No, I'm not interested. We leave. Pastor, I have been persecuted today. Someone told me that they were not interested in coming to our church, and I don't know what I'm going to do. No, endure hardness. What in the world? We're a bunch of wimps. Yes? Literally, Jesus said to his disciples, hey, take up your cross and follow me. That's what he said. Be willing to die and follow me. Can I tell you, Christians, we need to stop giving up when there's little problems, when there's little difficulties, when there's little burdens, and decide to serve God. Decide to move forward for the Lord. We need to give up some of the fears. Our world is crazy with fear. Whether it's fear of what's going on in the government, whether it's fear of COVID, whether it's fear of this, that, or the other. Listen, I'm all for being cautious and all that, and that's fine and good. But if you're not serving God because of your fear, then you're not enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I would much rather get COVID because I decided to serve God than to not get it because I decided not to. Be enduring. Be strong. Be training. Number four, be focused. Verse number four. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. See, Romans, when you became a soldier, you had to be focused only on being a soldier. As a matter of fact, they would ignore anything beyond being a soldier. Here's an interesting fact I just learned today. I've studied Roman a lot, obviously. I just learned this today. When you became a soldier, you either, one, had to be single, okay, to be a soldier, or two, you had to literally have a Roman divorce to become a soldier. Meaning this. If John Utley was going to go and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to go fight the barbarians and be a Roman soldier, you know what they would do? They would say, okay, if you want to be a Roman soldier, then you are no longer married to Becky. You're on your own. Why? Because they didn't want me to be thinking about the wife back home. Does that make sense? You are focused on being a Roman soldier. Everything else is, you got blinders. Your only focus is killing barbarians or Gauls or whoever it is. Your only focus is you being a soldier. Now, obviously, that's not a biblical concept, but Paul's taking that concept and he's applying it to us as Christians. He's saying, hey, all the other stuff that you focus on, stop being entangled with it. Stop being burdened with it. Stop being pulled down with it. No man that wars entangles himself in the affairs of this life. Why? Because you have one focus, you have one goal, and that's to please the one that called you to be a soldier. Why would Romans be so interested in pleasing the one that called them to be a soldier? They were concentrated on the reality of the reward for being a soldier. They were rewarded with a citizenship for their service. If they decided to serve faithfully for the allotted time, then you would become a Roman citizen. A lot of the Roman soldiers, they joined up specifically for that purpose. In this time, a lot of people joined up, risked their lives. Why? Because they wanted to be a citizen of Rome. Can I tell you, friends, we are already citizens, aren't we? Philippians 3 and verse number 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Whereunto we look. The idea of Philippians 3 verse 20 is this. Hey, don't focus on this earth. Don't focus on the things that trap us, the thing that get us focused away from God. No, our citizenship, our reality of why we are fighting is not to get citizenship. Our reality of fighting is because we are citizens. Because Christ matters to us. Roman focus. A Christian focus that we may please him that called him to be a soldier. The reality is Christ obviously is the one that called us to be his child. He's the one that ordained us. He's the one that saved us. So the question I have for you is Christ getting the focus that he deserves? Are you a good soldier? Now be honest when you think about this. Are you, am I, the soldier that I'm supposed to be? A real soldier, a good soldier is going to be strong. A good soldier is going to be training. A good soldier, number three, is going to be enduring. You're going to be facing the hardness. Number four, a good soldier is going to be focused. Listen, friends, let's all be the soldiers that God's called us to be. Stop giving up all the stuff. Stop being so focused on what's going on in this world. I don't know what's going on in the White House. I don't really care. It's a mess. It's been a mess for years. What I do know is that my citizenship is in heaven, and I'm going to serve God until he calls me home. And I hope and pray that's yours as well. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. A few very simple questions. I'm going to actually ask some questions here. I'm going to have a, not necessarily come forward invitation, but I want us to be honest with God here this evening. First question is this. Have you not been enduring hardness? Have you not been strong like you should in your serving God? You say, Pastor, because of the struggles, because of the burdens, because of the craziness of our world and all the different things, Pastor, I haven't been serving like I should be. I haven't been the soldier that I need to be. I can and should be doing more that I'm not doing because of what's going on Pastor, I need to be a strong, enduring soldier for Christ. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. If that's you, would you just pop your hand up? I promise I will pray for you. Good. A lot of us. A lot of us. A lot of us. Second question is this. How do you say, think through this before you answer? Pastor, I haven't been training like I should. I know people, I understand that there are people in my life that I have the opportunity that it would just fit for me to train them, for me to equip them, for me to teach what I know from God's word to them. I need to be listening, yes, but more than that, I need to be sharing and I need to be committing some of the things that I've learned to others. Pastor, there's some people that the Lord brought up to my mind when you were speaking that I need to be training, that I need to be trying to help them to grow in their Christian life. Pastor, I want you to pray for me that I do that. If that's you, would you pop your hand up? Good. Thank you. Many of us. Many of us. Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to have a come forward invitation this evening, necessarily. All the pianists are downstairs, nursery and all that. Here's what I want us to do. In just the quietness of this time, I want us to be honest with God. I want us to decide specifically, God, here's what I need to do in my life. And God, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a soldier. I'm going to stop being worried and complaining and frustrated about everything. I'm going to focus on you and my citizenship in heaven. God, I need to train some people. I need to start making a difference. Start learning myself, but then teaching others also. Maybe it's something totally different that I didn't even touch on, but God brought it up to your life and then deal with it. But right now, in the quietness of this time, I'm just going to take 30 seconds or so, and I'll close. In the quietness of this time, you tell God, God, here's what I need to do. God, help me to do it. Help me to take some steps to make it happen. Right now, seek the Lord, and then we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love, mercy, and grace in our lives. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be soldiers. Lord, that you didn't just call us, but Lord, you equipped us. You didn't just equip us, but Lord, you've already provided everything we need. Lord, you've given us your word. You've given us your presence. You've given us your power. You've given us brothers and sisters in Christ that are on the same journey that we're on. Lord, we could go on and on to describe everything you've done for us. But yet, Father, so often in our lives, we find ourselves, Lord, fearful about the enemy rather than bold because of who's behind us. God, we find ourselves fighting amongst ourselves when we should be encouraging one another and strengthening one another, training one another, committing what we know to one another. God, convict us. Change us, Father. We need you. We need to be what you've called us to be. So, Father, help us to change, to make a difference, not just in Apex, not just in our neighborhood or with our neighbors, but, Lord, through the world. Lord, because you are worth it. Work in the many people that raised their hands and said in some way that you pointed out something specific. God, I pray that we deal with it specifically. That we correct what needs to be corrected. And Father, that we would be the good soldiers that you've called us to be. Strengthen us. Help us in these things. Help us to remember these principles. Lord, help us to apply them in the days to come. So you can receive the praise, honor, and glory for it all. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things.